All right, guys, welcome to the show. In this interview, we've got Allison Rinkars from DIS Study Abroad. They specialize in studying abroad in Scandinavia, so Copenhagen and Stockholm. Listen up, she does a great job of telling us about her trip to Copenhagen and about DIS, and also something that we learn about called woofing, which is actually a really good idea if you're studying abroad. So enjoy it. Let me know if you have any questions. All right, thanks.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad. They're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Study Abroadcast. I'm here with Allison Rinkars, who works with a company or a program called DIS Study Abroad, and it's for if you're interested in studying abroad in Scandinavia. So I am going to let Allison tell you about that. But first of all, Allison, thank you for being here and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. I'm excited to be here.
All right, great. So tell me maybe a little bit about your study abroad trip. You did it with DIS, right? And then you can maybe get into what DIS is and what they do and why a student should pick them to study abroad with.
Sure. Yeah, sure. So yes, I did study abroad with DIS the spring of my junior year. I went to school in North Carolina at Elon University. Study abroad was always a big narrative on campus, even though it was always kind of an expectation that students would go abroad, and Elon provides a lot of resources to make that possible. So luckily I did get to go abroad my junior year and spent a semester in Copenhagen, Denmark with the program that I now work with, so obviously had a pretty good experience there.
Yeah.
But DIS in general, if you want me to say just a little bit about what the program is.
Sure, yeah.
So we offer semester and summer programs in both Copenhagen, Denmark, and Stockholm, Sweden. So students can study abroad for a full semester, a full year, or up from 1 to 3 sessions during the summer. And we offer a ton of different disciplines, you know, everything from environmental science to computer science, sustainability, pre-med courses. So we get students from a lot of different academic backgrounds. One thing that I think separates DIS from a lot of other study abroad programs is the academic structure that we provide. One big component of both the summer and semester offerings is what we call these course integrated study tours. So there's basically this travel component to the courses where you're taking what you're learning in Copenhagen or Stockholm and then using what you're learning and applying it to a whole new cultural context in a different country when you go for a week with your faculty and your classmates.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so cool. So tell me about it. So if I signed up and I decided, because there's a plethora of options available to students, and I decide to do it with DIS, walk me through what happens. So you sign up, and then is it like, do you pay the tuition to you, or do you do it with your university? How does housing work? All that stuff, setting it up before you leave.
Sure. So DIS works with around 200 universities across the U.S. So the students coming to DIS, those are students enrolled in a U.S. institution, usually in their junior year. So that's the cohort that we usually work with. And those students will apply either directly through DIS or through their home institution. And that varies based on what institution the student is coming from. We basically have a bit of a different structure with each university that we work with.
Okay.
So often what I advise to students is for them to first reach out to their study abroad advisor, first things first, and have a meeting with them, say, I'm interested in DIS. What does that process look like?
Okay.
And then they'll be the ones that will be able to say, oh, you're going to do an application for us, or, you know, go ahead, apply through DIS.
Okay.
So once all of that happens, then you get the acceptance email, you are ready to go. Then we have a period of time, usually a few months before you actually depart, that we get you all ready to go. So that can look a little different for each student. But for every student, they will all be invited to an online pre-departure course where we break down expectations, we break down goal setting, we talk about academics, about housing, about planning for your health abroad, what we find to be some of the most important topics for students to think about before they actually get on that plane. So that's a couple months of preparing. And we walk students through that. It's an online course, and then it's supplemented by additional emails. We're always available to talk on the phone if students want to walk through those things. And one part of that pre-departure course is you are filling out a housing application. So we offer 6 different housing options, and they vary pretty vastly based on whether you're living with locals or you're living with other DIS students, or where you live in the city. So students are applying to a housing option. They're writing an essay. What will they contribute to that housing? What do they hope to get out of it? And then we have a team in both Copenhagen and Stockholm that will then match the student with the most ideal housing option for them.
Okay. And do you guys, you mentioned an application. Do you guys do anything special in terms of scholarships or grants?
We do, yeah. So I think that money definitely plays a huge role in figuring out where you can study abroad, when you can study abroad. So DIS does offer both need-based and merit-based scholarships. And so our need-based is a pretty straightforward application that all students are qualified to apply for. And then our merit-based, we have a leadership scholarship. And so that's for students who have held leadership positions on campus. And then we have one specifically in memory of a faculty member who passed recently, but he was in our European politics program. So this scholarship is dedicated to students who are interested in pursuing European politics. But we really try to prioritize scholarships and making it study abroad available to all students.
Okay. So everyone can apply.
Everyone can apply. Everyone is encouraged to apply.
What's the most one can get?
Those leadership scholarships, we offer one winner for each one. It's awarded to one student each semester, and that's $10,000.
Oh, wow. And how many apply?
Oh, that's a great question. I would say around 50 to 60 applicants.
Okay, so those are fair odds, right?
It's
definitely worth it to apply then.
Absolutely, and it's an essay that describes what your leadership experience has been on campus, what defines a leader, and what you hope to do while you are abroad in terms of leadership.
Okay, and then let me ask you, before you left, and taking me back to your trip, did you have any fears or doubts or reservations before you left?
Oh, sure. Oh, my goodness. Yes. So I think I was maybe a typical student where I wanted to get a little bit outside of my comfort zone, but not too much. Uh-huh. So originally when I was thinking of study abroad, I thought, well, I do need to go to an English speaking country. That was a parameter for me because I didn't speak any other languages. For a while there, I was thinking, well, I'll go to London. It seems the most similar to me in terms of culture. And I had kind of been thinking about that for a while. And then I thought, you know what? I don't know much about Denmark. And everyone speaks English there. And it's been ranked the happiest country for years. It's known for its sustainability initiatives and its green space and its biking. And that kind of piqued my interest. So I decided to pursue Copenhagen then and kind of pivoted in my planning for study abroad. But I think I had a lot of typical reservations that students have about what am I going to miss if I'm leaving campus? And I studied abroad at a time that everybody was actually returning to campus. So I was missing a full year of seeing my friends on campus.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That is, and that was a little nerve-wracking for me, but you know, you quickly find that when you get to your study abroad destination, that stops being a concern. Mm-hmm. And I made it a priority when I was studying abroad to not be too engaged on those social media platforms, which I think can really take away from that present experience of being abroad.
Okay. And then let me, so this is kind of leading up. So you talked about the fears and doubts you have, and one question I ask everyone is, what happened to these fears and doubts then? So, like, what would you tell someone who's on the bubble about studying abroad and kind of, you know, having the same reservations? What, everything turned out fine, right?
Everything turned out more than fine. And I think it's so common to have these concerns before actually getting there, because it is so difficult to visualize what that study abroad experience is going to look like. What does a homestay look like before you actually move into your homestay? What does a Danish classroom look like compared to my classroom at Elon? Those things were so hard to wrap my head around before going there. So what I often advise students is recognize those doubts, recognize those concerns. Do what you can right now to prepare yourself, whether that be reading more about the culture, talking to past students and getting their perspective, reaching out to staff members at that organization, and do what you can be in control of. And beyond that, just lean into that discomfort. And okay. Just, it's such a, I love advising students right before they go abroad, because the world is their oyster and they have no idea what they're about to get into. They have no idea these experiences and friendships and academic accomplishments they're going to make. And you see them right at the cusp of all of that, where they're just consumed with nerves and doubt and maybe even regret. And then to see them actually flourish when they go abroad, you can tell somebody, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine. And they can only hear it so much. But I try to offer them that opportunity to just embrace that feeling of discomfort right now.
Yeah, I've never heard that. That was really well put. Lean into your discomfort. That's really good. And then with the classes in DIS, so you're taking classes with all other students, international students, or is it all American students, or are you at a college? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the students at DIS, they are all coming from U.S. institutions. So not necessarily all from the U.S. In fact, we have a good deal of students who are kind of double studying abroad, if you will. So they're exchange students in the U.S. And then during one of their semesters in the U.S., they're going to go abroad to Copenhagen or Stockholm. So students are all attending some U.S. college or university when they are at DIS.
Okay.
And DIS itself doesn't have its own campus like you would think of a lot of these campuses in the U.S. with, you know, 20 buildings and big rolling hills and dorms. We are in the city centers of Stockholm and Copenhagen. And so we take up a few buildings in each of these locations where students will be attending their classes and where our staff are also located. But then beyond that, students will be commuting outside of that city center to get to their housing. So think of it kind of like an urban setting for a college. We have our own faculty, our own classrooms, our own administrative offices. And then students live that quote unquote local life by then hopping on the train or getting on their bike or the bus or the metro to go home to their housing somewhere in the greater Copenhagen or Stockholm area.
Sounds like so much fun. And then a buzzword that you hear a lot with study abroad is excursions. So I know you said that you take trips with your classes too, but does DIS do anything in terms of like maybe trips to other countries in London, or are you just on your own for that? And do they give you time to explore the rest of Europe?
Yeah, so we do provide students with those chunks of time that we encourage them to either get to know their area and spend a couple days exploring somewhere in Sweden or Denmark, or that's an opportunity for them to go into greater Europe and do some adventure with some friends that they've made during their semester abroad. And so that happens twice during the semester. Students have both a 7-day time chunk of time and then a 5-day what we call a study break. And so those are two opportunities. We've recognized that we prioritize so much the academic component of DIS. That is just the first and foremost part of our experience, that we really wanted to curtail those times that students wanted to maybe skip their Monday class or skip their Friday class to go do those weekend adventures. And I'm all for students doing that, you know, that exciting, memorable, oh, let's book a ticket to London the night before and then go, when it falls outside of that 5-day academics. So in order to avoid that from happening, we've put together these two breaks that students then have that designated time, that they're not skipping class, they're not totally over planning themselves during the week, that then they have those opportunities to go out and explore.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. And then they have the weekends too, right?
They do. Yeah. And we find that, there's so many things to explore just within, within an hour of each of those cities.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so, these are good. Yeah. These are good answers. Now getting a little bit maybe more into your story. And I know people that are involved in international education, it's not like they just studied abroad once, like they're always buzzing off to somewhere. But can you tell me a travel story, something that sticks out that you think that is fun, that would be fun to share to the audience?
Yes, this is probably one of my most memorable parts of my study abroad is during one of those breaks that I was just talking about. A friend and I went woofing. Do you know what that is?
Woofing?
Yes.
No.
Okay. Yeah, not many people do. So woofing stands for Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And it's pretty big in New Zealand, Australia, Europe. And it's basically going to a farm to work. In exchange for your labor, you get free room and board and food. So definitely not your typical week vacation.
Right.
My friend and I were videographers, and so we wanted to have some very different, off the beaten path vacation experience or travel experience. So we ended up woofing for a week in southern Italy in this little coastal town called Mozzara d'Avallo. And we lived with this Italian family for a week. We worked on their farm building a fence and helping kind of just with general cleaning around the farm. Their farm, their names were Ale and Laura. They were just the sweetest couple, and they just took us in. They grew sesame and sweet potatoes. And so we just spent a week getting to know them, living in their home, working on their farm, meeting their friends, getting to know the city and then their little plot of land. And it was such an incredibly memorable experience, something that coming back from that break, and everyone was like, whoa, I have never heard of anyone doing that before. And it opened my eyes like I have never experienced to a pretty much another world. This tiny, tiny little fishing village in Italy where everyone still exchanges a bag of sweet potatoes for pasta. And you just lived in such a remote spot in the world. It was just totally mind-blowing.
So is there a website then? How do you get set up? How does one become a woofer?
That's a great question. So there is a website. You can just go online. I'd probably just woof.com or the simple Google search will get you there.
Okay.
And you basically choose a country. So we chose Italy, and then you pay a subscription. I can't imagine it was more than $30 or $40. And that gives you access to all of the woofing farms available. And then it's just almost like cold calling, where we had this email with our faces and a little pitch about, hey, this is, you know, we're from the US, we want to come and film and make a visual documentary about this experience. And some would say, you know, oh, I need people for longer than that, I can't do a week, or thanks, but I'm already full with woofers. And so we ended up finding one couple, and I'm still in touch with them to this day. And their farm has grown, and their son, who was 2 years old when we were there, is a little kid now. And it's amazing.
Oh, wow.
How, you know, 7 days and that relationship has just stuck.
Yeah. So you go through like a little interviewing process, and they vet you a little just to make sure you're not, you know, you are who you say you are, and you're not some weirdo. And okay.
Exactly. But overall, quite easy process. And I've recommended it to other students who have ended up doing it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what I've talked to, you're the first person I've talked to that's done Copenhagen, and I'm interested now in the food as we move on. As we move on in the interview, is there specific food that the Netherlands are known for, or
what
food do you miss from there that you can't get that you tried that really stuck out to you?
There's so many. You know, it's funny, I'm a vegetarian, so I ended up not being able to have a lot of the classic Danish food. You know, this meat and potatoes is really big there, and lots of things that I could look at and I could admire, but I didn't eat. For me, though, breakfast was a huge part of my experience. I loved how elaborate these breakfasts were. And now not every day, and that's a massive generalization to say that everybody eats this big breakfast. But where I lived with other Danes and international students my age in what is called a folk high school, which is translates to a folk high school. Basically, this kind of gap year opportunity for Danes and international students to spend a semester or a year taking classes like philosophy and ceramics and jewelry making and literature and photography and exploring a lot of disciplines that they didn't have the chance to pursue during their high school years, and the classes they want to take before pursuing a college degree. So it doesn't exist anywhere other than Scandinavia. It's a very unique living and learning environment. I knew I wanted to experience that because I would never have an opportunity beyond my semester to live in that environment.
Right.
And so one component of this folk high school is that you ate all of your meals together.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have breakfast every morning. Somebody would ring a bell, and we would all sit in the food hall together. And there was yogurt and fresh bread and fresh cheese and jams and eggs and just so many options, and all fresh, and all they really focused on it all being natural stuff. So you never really saw much processed food during breakfast. And I really enjoyed just taking the time in the morning to have a meal and sit with friends and prepare for your day, where upon returning to the U.S., I so quickly fell back into that routine of eating on the go. And that's pretty uncommon in Denmark to see people eating on the go, especially not on a bike. I mean, you can't really sip coffee and bike into work in the morning.
Yeah.
So it's that culture surrounding food was a huge learning moment for me.
Okay, so yeah, so it's not like not as much the food, but the actual just the process and how they do it.
How they prioritize it.
Yeah, no, that's how it is, I think, like in everywhere but America.
Right.
So no, yeah, getting a bagel on the go on your way to work or class, and
it's so easy here. I mean, it's hard not to, know, when you have so many fast options around that the temptation is just so much. And mm-hmm. so there's so few opportunities for that you really have to acclimate to that different way of life.
Yeah. Okay. And do you have any book or media recommendations you want to give to everyone? Like any apps or blogs or websites or a book that you read that kind of changed your view of the world?
Oh, yes, there is one book. And now it doesn't necessarily pertain specifically to study abroad, but this is something that I have I've recommended to pretty much every student I talk to. It's called The Defining Decade by Meg Jay.
Okay.
And this is something that I read first when I was 21 and since then have read three times. But Meg Jay is a psychiatrist who works specifically with what she calls 20-somethings, so anyone in their 20s. And based on her experience working with these young adults, she has developed basically a perspective of your 20s. Of her whole angle is be intentional in every move you make during your 20s. So often we hear that, your 30s are your new 20s. Your 20s are your time to just you know, hang around, figure yourself out, take your time, which has its, is positive. It's definitely positive to take time to reflect on who you are and who you want to become. But she gives examples of how to do that in a productive way. And she breaks it down into through work, through your career, how to be intentional about your career goals in your 20s. She breaks it down into relationships. So how your 20s kind of shape who you are, and the relationships that you have in your 20s can shape who you become. And she breaks it down into the mind and the body. So what's going on, and what kind of things are changing still in our brains through our 20s, and how we can use that malleability to be a great version of ourselves. And she basically just, I just so admire how much tangible advice she gives from every point of view for every student in every kind of stage of life. I think it's very open in that regard. So I could talk about that book forever, but it's an easy, quick read. And it, again, like I said, I've been consulting it every 2 years since.
Yeah, no, it sounds like a perfect just book to read maybe right after you get back, or like right when you're transitioning or graduating.
Definitely.
Yeah, I wish I would have read it. It's no, going back to your, easier said than done, but I guess that book would help you get there though.
Definitely, definitely. And there's still time. You can still, I think it applies to people even beyond their 20s.
Yeah. Okay, good. You know, I'll definitely link it in the show notes.
And great.
That is, do you have a favorite quote you want to share?
Yeah, I wrote one down, I think.
Perfect.
It's a short one, and I think it plays nicely into that defining decade book and into study abroad in general, but it's just, fail often in order to succeed sooner.
Oh.
And that's the slogan of a design company, IDEO, that I just had heard years ago, and I wrote it down, and I think that can be applied to everything. When you're thinking about study abroad, when you are studying abroad, when you're choosing what to do next after you study abroad, if you fail often, you succeed sooner. And so lean into that failure.
That's good. Thank you very much, Allison. Well, that is all I have. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Oh, I just think that I just wish everyone listening to this podcast the best of luck when they think about their study abroad experience.
Yeah, and your interview will definitely help push them in the right direction, hopefully. All right, well, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon, guys. Give us an honest review of the show. Let me know how I'm doing. Allison, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks,
and we'll
Chris.
Talk to you again soon.
Great, thank you.
All right. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts, as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews, or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.